Blog Hallelujah. Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Given him for that blog talk.
If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up, please. Okay, I see Brother Bruce, Brother Aki Bruce with a clap in the hand, so I guess that means he can hear me. But Sister Calipia, Sister Samaria, give me. Okay, so I'm on. Brother Ahab, thank you, Akiz, family. I'm your host once again from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahweh Congregation, under the tutelage of Rabbi Ben Gershom Ben Daniel Yakael HaMashiach Yahushua, our spiritual leader. We'll today's segment is a part, I'm a fill-in instructor, so I will not be picking up Brother Ariel's lesson from the lesson that he's been bringing forth to us. So I know we missed him last week. I was anxious to hear from him this week, but he shall be back. He shall return. But I have a lesson tonight that Yahweh gave me. the title of this lesson to be the two temples. The two temples that come to my mind. The two temples, and reason why that comes to my mind, I'm gonna plug my phone up so it won't die on me. Two temples come to my mind because during this time of year, it's a season that's approaching us soon, and I apologize because I normally start off like that, so I'm not going to change anything. I apologize I wasn't with you this past new moon. The past new moon was last Thursday on the Gregorian calendar, which was the 24th, the 11th month of November. Fell on at sunset, it fell on which is called Thanksgiving. So that was the first. And therefore, today at sunset, if you see the moon, today is the ninth of Kislu, the ninth month on Yahweh's calendar. But the second day of December, the 12th month on the Gregorian calendar. And yes, I said this new month of Yahweh, the ninth month of Yahweh, which month came in last Thursday, the 24th of November, which fell on Thanksgiving, which I find interesting. In itself, is given those. That was a Thanksgiving given by the 16th President of the United States of America and Congress. 16th President, along with Congress, signed that date, that holiday, Thanksgiving, into a law, which they. It became the last Thursday of the month for Thanksgiving. But Yahweh, the Thanksgiving that children of Yahweh, that's drawn out of the darkness into his light, his glorious light, hallelujah. Yahweh gave instructions and gave us Thanksgiving, which was in the seventh month, Itani. For 7 days, he said you will gather and come together as one, leave your permanent dwelling, and give thanksgiving and praise to all that what Yahweh done for you. And that's found in Leviticus chapter 23. I hate to sound like a broken record, but this is how I'm going to carry this, that I can't speak out of my, no more come out of my mouth, and I guess I'll write it down. But Leviticus chapter 23 is where the chapter gives all the holy days of Yahweh. If you want to know what's holy and acceptable and the right will of the Father and how to please the Father, that's where you'll find all of his holy days, not holidays. Leviticus 23, verse 33 to 44 is called the Feast of Tabernacle, or the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tent. For people that just were taught, misled and taught that they're New Testament covenant believers. John chapter 7, you will hear that whole chapter is pertaining to that Feast of Tabernacle. He's the booth. That's where God gave a thanksgiving that his believers and children and followers, or people call themselves, they're spiritual. So if you want to really be spiritual, you want to follow the things that God say follow and honor those things. Make sure your temple is presented in a perfect way that Abba can come in your temple like he did back in the temples of old, where he met between the two cherubims and then said his glory, the Shekinah glory, it filled the room. That way he accepted your offerings. That's what we want to do. We don't want to do anything just in vain. So yes, Abraham Lincoln, I've heard some people say he was a Christian. Maybe he was a Christian, but he wasn't a good Christian. Because how can you say that? That's the 16th president I was referring to. If he was a good Christian, he'd have read his Bible and went to Leviticus 23 and seen like, oh, Congress, I need those 7 days right there, Leviticus 33 to 44, right there, Congress. Yeah, I need that. But John 7 right there, that's talking about that too, Congress. That's what a good Christian. So Abe wasn't a good Christian. He was doing some godly thing, like Romans, what is it, Romans 13 say, people have a form of godly, God's righteousness, but denying the power thereof. We just left a men's spiritual retreat, hallelujah, up in the Poconos Mountain back on the, the first, we arrived there on the 30th, the last day, we arrived there on the 29th, the last day of the month of Bull, the eighth month, and we remained up there to the 27th, which was the fourth day of this ninth month coming in. And one of the classes was the importance of Israel. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. One of the brothers, they had texted to me. Brother Bruce sent out a video, so he already covered my heart. Hallelujah. See how it worked? And those classes was very edifying for me to help me, and it helped me choose to go to the topic I'm going tonight, because I was not supposed to teach, but being a teacher for the Most High, I always had some kind of lesson, but certain lessons weren't finished for when the time I felt as though appropriate. But who am I? I'm just a vessel, and I'm a spokesman for the Most High. So if I say it's incomplete, when the Most High say I say it's complete, I shall proceed and do what the Most High say do. And one of those, the theme of the men's fellowship was zeal of power. And one of the following classes was the importance of Israel. Hallelujah. And can God become a man, and why? So I found that the men's retreat very edifying, and you know the fellowship with brothers and brothers feeding off each other, and that Holy Spirit going off each other by. So that's how I came to realize, like, Father, I don't have a lesson, but I feel it for my brother. And so it's like, this is what you're going to do. I'm like, well, I'm not finished that lesson. Like I said, this part is finished. So who am I to argue with the Most High? So on that note, we're going to open up in a prayer. Well, that's my phone. Father, yeah, forgive me of my sins. Open up my spiritual ears and spiritual eyes that decrease so that you can increase. Forgive me any sins, knowingly and unknowingly. Father, yeah, thank you. Give me the breath of life today for once more to come into you, Shabbat, to receive all your blessings, Father God. Watch over us, Rabbi. Continue to bless him and feed him with your word, your spiritual knowledge up high, on high, so he can continue to guide us so we can reach out and be the salt and the light to this dark world. Father God, watch over all our children's children. keep them in your head. Father Yahweh, bless all the Kohens, ones in town and ones that are not in town. Continue to open up their spiritual ears and eyes, give them the strength of wherever they may be, Father Yah. They still can be your representative, especially today on the Sabbath. No matter what they indulge in or engage in, this still your day. They don't have to be in Baltimore, Maryland. Because you have them wherever they are right now. Wherever they chose to be right now, this evening, but they still can represent you, can take some time out if needed and represent you. Watch over Sister Debbie. Continue to strengthen her. I see her on the text. Hallelujah. Continue to give her strength and comfort her as she's healing. Watch over our Zacchaeus, Brother Ward. Continue to heal him and give him wisdom. And Zacchaeus Gary, continue to comfort him and give him the healing and continue to give him wisdom. Watch over Brother Dale Well, as he's still healing that brother. He's still getting stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. And prepare his mind so he can be ready to bring the next segment of his session, the frontal lobe of the mind set that he's been teaching on the morning Sabbath blog talk, which he had a pause last week also because everything was unscheduled for last week because of the men's retreat, but everything is back. Father Yah, prepare Brother Aha Bell, who's going to bring the message in the Sabbath portion in the later afternoon. Open his spiritual eyes, Father Yah. Father Yah, bless Brother Shefuel. Continue to heal him and strengthen him. He's still recovering from ailments from COVID-19, but the brothers still keep going because of your mercy and your grace. And continue to watch over him. Watch over our brother Brother Wendell in Houston, because he's your representative voice down there while he's down there for you. Watch over Brother Mike and bless, continue to strengthen his mother that's battling with cancer. Let your will be done and strengthen her. Heal her soul, if anything, Father. We know you can heal anything, but most importantly, this body and this flesh purges and goes away. But heal her soul so she can be in the kingdom with you forever. Watch over our young ones, and our children, our young adults out here in this world, because this world can really capture these young adults, because it seems like they're in a bubble, in a no man's island, compared to everything that's going on around them, and they're trying to live a tour-based life is the way their families, parents are bringing them up. Watch over our teenagers also out in this world. And anything I forgot, Father Yah, forgive me of it and strengthen me. In the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, amen. I'm going to read the opening blessing right now. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessings, for joy and for gladness, for salvation, for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctifies Israel and the new moon. Hallelujah. As I say, welcome family. The title of this lesson, really no title. Yahweh just gave me some things that was on my mind that I was trying to put a lesson together. So, like I said, I thought it was incomplete, but I got enough here because the Father said I have enough, so be it. My first opening scripture is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. For time's sake, I ain't going to go through by now. We should all know, have your Bible. If you don't have anything else, have your Bible, please, along company with your notepad, highlighters. The good thing about this lesson is archive, so you can go back and get this lesson and Brother Dale Wells' morning Sabbath lesson. But when Brother Aha Bell come on in that afternoon, that's all the way live, so you want to have your tools, your Bible, your pens, your highlighters, so you can annotate those notes so Yahweh can bring those notes back to your memories so you can glean from them throughout the rest of the remainder of the Shabbat or in the remainder of the upcoming week that we're coming into. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that reads, I'm going to read that in your hearing. That's found in the New Testament. I will say that much. It'd be helpful for you. I'm not trying to be smarter than me. Don't guess anything. It's something I learned from my mother. Go in the front of any book that usually have a table of contents, or the back of a book has a glossary. It's, therefore, that would help you find, like, bam, 1 Corinthians. That's right here. Turn to page 600 something, 700 something, 1,000, and that way you can get there. I'm going to read the first, I said 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's going to be my opening scripture. One of my opening scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Maybe that's not it. But we're going to read this anyway. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. It was the right one. I thought it wasn't the right scripture, but that's one of them I need. And I did say this would be Yahweh showed me about speaking about two temples. Bear with me 1 minute. I want to see something. Also, since while I'm looking up something, as I told you, this time of year, this is the ninth month. This ninth month may sound like a broken record, but I told you I'm going to bring it like always. In case somebody don't know, a new listener or whatever, they had no idea. In your Bibles, in John, the New Testament believers, because I said Leviticus 23, all of God's holy days are found there, but God has two permissible holidays, because they're not holy days, or commemorable days of this that you honor also that he finds. One is in the 12th month of Adar. It's called Purim. That's on the 14th and the 15th. You may be familiar with a queen named Esther. Yes. She helped deliver the Jews, the Hebrews, from being annihilated by somebody named Haman. It's a good story you can read, not that long. Bam, we fast forward in the ninth month, which we are now Kislev. You hear a story called, that was a two-day permissible gathering, Purim, 14th and 15th, and the 12th month of Adar. With annihilation of the Hebrews, they would have never existed anymore. But Yahweh intervened and stepped through by using a servant. He used Esther, the queen. In the ninth month is an eight-day observance called Hanukkah. Hanukkah. Or some of your calendars may have Monday, the 19th. But that's not correct, because the first day fell on the 24th of November of the Gregorian calendar, which made it the first day of Kislev. If you count 25 days from that, you'll get the 18th at sunset. That Sunday will be the first day of Hanukkah, the eighth day. And it goes until the last day would be the 25th of December, which on the Gregorian calendar is called Christmas. That's the last night, the eighth day of that Hanukkah. And that right there commemorates a group of people in First Maccabees. You'll find it in the First Maccabees. First Maccabees, if you don't have First Maccabees is not in your Bible unless you have a 1611 or some new American Standard Bibles have it. I can't just say 1611 anymore. They're starting to put apocryphal books in there. But if not, everybody has a smartphone or some kind of a pad, tablet, or computer in their home. You can Google 1 Maccabees, Judas Maccabees. They were priests. And you'll see where that story, how this story takes place. It takes place on the 25th of Kislev. No, the 25th of Kislev isn't the same as the 25th of December. But that feast, Hanukkah, is considered, you'll find it in John 10:22, where it says Yahshua was preaching on the porch of Solomon at Solomon's temple. And it's called the Feast of Dedication in some of the transcripts, or the Feast of Lights. And with that Feast of Lights, when you go through the story of Maccabees, I believe it's in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, 2 Maccabees chapter 4, when you go through that, forgive me for not knowing that, when you go through that, you will see that the temple got defiled. It got overtaken. It got defiled. It was taken from the children of God that honored God and obeyed him and did his commands and the things that was pleasing to God, the holy things that God considered holy. See, man can make a way that seems right, that seems holy, but that way is leads to death, because why? It's not honest from God. Right. So therefore, the temple got defiled. When I say the temple got defiled, and the temple had holy instruments, holy furnishings. You had an altar that was outside the temple. Inside the temple, you had the holies of holies. That's where the ark, the covenant of God was, where he come and dwell. You have shoe bread that represented the 12 shoe bread. That represented the consecrated bread. It represented the 12 tribes of Israel. You also had an altar incense before you got to the holies and holy, that tempt the veil. So all these, and the menorah, which is this, what that Hanukkah represents in John 10:22, what that means, the Feast of Lights, Feast of Dedication, it represents that. And you will hear about a menorah in Revelation chapter 1, when it says the Messiah stood, he holds the 7 candles lamps. And what those 7 candle lamps point to in Revelation is the 7 assemblies. So what we see right there, God made a menorah. He gave Moses the instructions of that in Exodus chapter 25. Well, it starts in chapter 25. He gave him the format, the blueprint of how to build God a tabernacle, and how God can illustrate how he wants his service and officiating to be operated so mankind can see. So that's why he took a set apart tribe, which he called it Levites, and he took them for his own inheritance out of the 12 tribes of Israel, because they did the works of God. But Hanukkah is the time, what that temple is, it's a time for when the Maccabees fought these wars, I believe it was 3 years later, 167 or 164 to 167, when they got it back, they took it back on the 25th of Kislev, which is the first day when Hanukkah starts for 8 days. And it's an 8-day memorial of restoring the temple, restoring the ways of Yahweh. It's not what the myth, you may read myths say it was about the oil burned 8, it was 1 vial worth of oil that lasted 8 days. That's not correct. That's a fable like Timothy and Titus talks about, because that's not in the word of the Most High. The same way he could tell that story about Hanukkah, you think he would not put that in there? That's what it was about. No, it's about the Maccabees priest. These 7 priests, the son of this priest that had 7 sons, it was about how they fought and conquered over evil with the help of Yahweh, where the light prevailed over the darkness. So now the temple can be restored back to the way it's supposed to be. The shoe bread can be back. No more lighting swine, pig, unclean animals on the altar of God, which was a defilement. Only offering God the things that he said is holy and acceptable. Because only God can sanctify you and make you holy. Nothing you can do. So that's why it's very important for you to follow the ways of the Most High. So that's what Hanukkah in this year's season is about. It's about rededication. And then that was the physical. They rededicated a temple, true, in that story. But what we're supposed to see for that spiritually, we're supposed to rededicate our lives and ourselves. Because remember the opening scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 19, 20. You were bought, verse 20 said you were bought with a price. And so what was the price? Did you see that the Maccabees, they warred and fought. A lot of people died during those 3 years of that civil war, that fighting. But they prevailed. Just like to prevent annihilation, just like I told you, the other holiday that's acceptable, that's a two-day holiday, 14th and 15th, and the 12th month of Adar called Purim, because Jews was going to get annihilated then. And they always had to fight. But always remember Yahweh, what he tell Jehoshaphat in Second Chronicles 20:20, the battle is not yours, it's Yahweh's. Hallelujah. He will fight for you. So that's what we've seen. That's what Hanukkah and this season is. So this is the time for us to reflect, to rededicate your temple, not just for these 8 days, just like as I was talking to one of my Aki Maria, just like he mentioned, just like in the spring festival, we start off the year with Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. You don't just seek that lamb on the 10th day for one time with spot and blemish, and cause you supposed to mirror that yourself, because now you want to be that, you become that lamb. Hallelujah. I didn't see that when we was talking, but Aki was, he made a good point. Those 7 days that we do unleavened bread and sweep that out your physical house, you want to sweep that out your spiritual house forever, not just for just those 7 days and then back. No, you want to constantly keep sweeping and sifting your house. So that's why I said that temple. So just like Hanukkah rededicating the temple for 8 days, no, you rededicate. And we know what the number eight means, right? The number eight means what? Infinity. We have a feast day, the last feast day of the year, the holy year, which the last four feasts in the seventh month, Itanim. The last one is what? Simeon Seret, the eighth day. So that's why we're going to continue. And we know the eight in the Hebrew language is the chet. The chet. That's a wall. A wall means what? Separation from things. So we want to continue to be separated from the world. Because why? We were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. And our bodies is a temple. So the same way that temple got defiled with swine, things that God said, no, that's unacceptable to offer to me. That defiles my temple. We want to keep those things that's unacceptable to God in our bodies, these bodily temples. Our body is a temple to the Most High now. We no longer have a temple that the children of Israel, if we did, we still would go up to Jerusalem and offer things. We don't have that anymore, but we have our bodies, ourselves to offer. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? Let your body be a living, be ye transformed, be conformed, but be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed, and let your body be a living sacrifice daily. Just like the daily offerings that were given. That's why Yahweh gave those instructions to Moshe. Say, these things point to those things. We do these things every day. What? You wake up, you pray. That's the morning offering. You pray when the sun set going, because it's a new day. Every time the sun sets, another day, that's another chance. It's like another new beginning. Like now we're in a new beginning of the ninth day of this ninth month. You pray. That was just like the evening and the morning sacrifice. So we still do these things. And we still keep that temple swept. We still keep the unleavened, because what it was pointing to, sweeping, keeping unleavened out, keeping sin. So we keep it going. We keep this temple of ours that Yahweh gave us. That's why he said, we are lively stones. We are living temple. And he's the chief cornerstone. So if he's holy, he's with spot and unblemished. He wants each one of those stones on top of him collectively build up where it's a spiritual temple. And what did Yahshua say in John 4? What time? What did he say in John 4? John 14? He said, if it's not my father, in my father's house, in my father's temple, or my father's not, there are many temples. So let's do it like this, like we learned in Ezekiel when the brothers was going through Ezekiel. Brother Dale Well did it eloquently. Brother Muriel did it eloquently. Brother Ahabel did it. Those brothers were tearing up Ezekiel when we went through that. We see that the spirit, that temple in Ezekiel, that's a spiritual temple. That's not a physical temple like the temple that was in Jerusalem, the two temples that we know that got destroyed in the fifth month, the month of Av. You find it in Jeremiah. That's not the temple. And then the last temple that Yahshua spoke about in Mark 12, Mark 13, when he told us that not one stone will be there. Don't marvel on that. Because what, 70 AD, what happened? They came in and conquered and took the instruments. You see them on the history notes that they've taken a 7 candlestick lamp with them along with other things. That's not the first time those things were taken and removed from Israel. So that's the light of Yah getting removed from Israel. So we have to look at these things. So your spiritual temple, the two temples, we this body that we have, the food that we put in it, that's why we follow dietary law, because we can't put anything, we can't put the things that he say not to eat and then think God's going to accept it. No, he's not. He's not going to do that. You can convince yourself all you want to, but that's not how this thing works. Like I said, there's a way that seems right, but that way leads to death. So now, okay, 839. So that's one open scripture. That should be enough. Oh, got to do another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read that in your head. That's in the New Testament, too. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7 reads like this. I'll read this in your head. Oh, is it First Peter? I might have messed it up, friend. No, maybe hold up. Okay, hold up, maybe I need something now for me. So definitely not that. Give me one second. Okay, I know what we're gonna do. The verse I'm looking for, it says, sorry, we're going to do it like that. I'm going to pull it up. Bear with me. Give me one more minute. Come on. But keep that in mind while I'm filing this verse. We coming up. We got what? 9-9. What we got? 16 days until Hanukkah starts, that 8-day of dedication. And no, don't compare Hanukkah with what you may see or heard as the Hebrew or the Jewish equivalent to Christmas. No, it's not. It don't have nothing to do with going to a retailer and buying gifts for each other. What you can do on that, you can invite somebody over or have some food or some dinner and do the same way. Look at it as having 8 new moon gatherings, because on a new moon you're supposed to get together also. That's like a solemn feast, a new moon. Look at Hanukkah as 8 days of doing that, not 8 days of giving gifts. That's not like the song we grew up on. That first day of Christmas, my true love gave me 2 turtle doves and a partridge. No. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Take them grave clothes off. Take them off. How long you going to get caught between 2? Like Elijah said in 1 Kings 18 or 17, If Yah is Yah, let him be Yah. If Baal is Baal, let him be it. How long you can't straddle this? How long are you going to do this? No. Come out the world. No, it's not like Christmas. It's rededicating yourself, your temple, into the ways of the Most High, because you may have slipped. You may have slipped from Passover, the first month, or you may have slipped from just the seventh month. This is just the ninth month. That was just 2 months ago, the seventh month, coming out the holy season. So that's why Yahweh put this here, and then keep on, and right there, to keep a remembrance, a forefront. And why 8 days? 8 days. So because we always want to think like that. All right, let me get the scripture. Let me shut up. Let me see. It's in Peter, though. So if you're in Peter, thank you for beating me there. Some of you might can send me the verse. I said, hey, that's what you want. Right here. But I got it for you. Got it for you. Tell me, I gotta go through all this. Man, First Peter. What did I say? I said First Peter chapter 4 verse 7. Oh, right in it. It's First Peter chapter 4 verse 17. I think somebody might be telling me now. I heard the phone go. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 17, I was right in. I just be so impatient sometimes, family, and I get all, want to get into things. And when it don't come like that, I get frustrated. Like, hey, what's going on? It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Still pertaining to this temple. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins first with us, what will happen to those who don't obey good news of God, the gospel of God? If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let them also who suffer according to the will of God and doing good and trust their soul to him as to the faithful creator. Remember, we were bought with a price. So, yeah, it might be a little hard.
Like, well, no Christmas. No Christmas, no Easter Bunny, no Frosty, no Christmas.
You can have your Frosty the Snowman. I don't think that's well, you ain't praying to him, then, you know, make Frosty an idol now. You can have Frosty Snowman, you know. Just don't be bowing down praying to Frosty. But, you know, but Santa Claus, I'm sorry. The tree, don't let nobody fool you with the tree. We're not going there. Jeremiah chapter 10, I'll help you out with that. People will try to spiritualize that. That's people that's not trying to let go of the world. And when I say that, because you say, well, what did you just read that verse? It's people that's Hebrews doing Hanukkah the way like Christmas. Big screen TVs, PlayStation, all that. You can get that any time of the year. Why is it time to rededicate yourself? You would want anything comparable to what the pagan holidays or whatever. And no, for any listening believers, no, it's not the birth of the Messiah, the Son of God, Yahushua. Now, I'm not saying it's not Jesus' birthday, but we know that Jesus is not the name of the Son of God. So therefore, they say it could be his birthday, the 25th, but Yahushua, the Mashiach, the Holy One of Israel, that's not his birthday. One, you say, well, prove it to me, whatever. One, he did not tell you to concentrate on his birthday anyway. He told you to focus on repentance because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he told you to work your salvation out daily. And he told you, do this in remembrance of me, the Passover, every year on the 14th of Abib, the first month, according to Yahweh calendar, Exodus chapter 12, 4, and Exodus chapter 13, 3, that he told Moshe. Because why? That's where your salvation begins. Accepting that Holy One, that blood of that sacrificial lamb. Yeah, it sounded like a nice little smooth story. Like, yeah, and then they had a lamb, and they had dinner together, and they put a little bit of blood over the door panel and went to sleep, and the next day they left. Oh, it's more than that. Slow up. That's where it all begins. That's where all the faith begins. And that's the beginning of it. So let's not get caught up in the Easter Bunny and those things that the world make it. It may not seem fun or as these holidays are coming up. But I'm like Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh and we're going to serve and honor his way. That's what we're going to do. So now the temple, the judgment begins in your house. You have to sweep your house, constantly keep sweeping your house. You have to keep, as Paul said, examining yourself. You have to see, am I following the ways of the Most High? Am I leaning, as Elijah told me, am I starting to lean to Baal? Or am I sticking to what Yahweh waited? What we told, if the house, if we say, if the house gets swept out and you don't keep it clean, the demon come back with seven more friends. And claim your house. Say, hey, I got a prayer to go to. That means he know you ain't really been doing too much housekeeping. But getting to the two temples, what time we got, right? Okay, 8:49. Okay, well, 8 o'clock. Nine. All right, cool, ain't too bad. Another thing came to my mind when we doing this temple. With him, no, sir. It was two temples at one, at another point too. Moses in Exodus chapter 25, we get time to read that. And Solomon temple in 1 Kings chapter 6. And when you get time, just look at the similarities and compare certain things and instruments. He said, well, bro, how do that? You folks, I'm going to help you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 gives you the plan of the temple. David, you know, he got plans for the temple that God put on his heart, you know, to make a temple. And Solomon followed through. But we also have to remember also Psalms 127, let Yahweh build a house, the builder labors in vain. And what I'm trying to say with that is, if you look at the two, you compare the construction of both temples. The first one from Moshe, it was just a tent. People said, that's a shabby tent, but that wasn't a shabby tent. If you look at how it was designed and constructed and how the officiating, the main thing was the officiating. You may have heard me say that before, but this was Yahweh kept putting in my mind. Put this in my mind on Sukkot. The officiating of Yahweh's ways, his holiness and his service and how to come to worship him. That supposed to be the most glamorous highlight of the thing. Not getting caught up in the artifice, the architecture and structure of a temple, which is King Solomon. Not taking anything away from his temple, but it was a lot there that most people, they've lost. The main coming attraction was the priest. Because why? Those priests pointed to the high priest, Yahushua, from the tribe of Judah. Brother Dan Wood brought out something a couple of Sabbaths ago in his class about how the high priest had a ephod on, and he had each gem of Israel, and on his shoulders he had the honor, so he carried Israel. That was, and then the holiness of Yah, the crown that the priest wore. That's supposed to have been the main thing. So when all the nations came, like he told Moses in Deuteronomy, I think it was chapter 8, chapter 4, all the nations to see your wisdom and wow, marvel for that. Not get caught up in the splendor of how beautiful your building is. And so when it comes to our temple, let's keep our temples clean, purified. And this time of the year, let's rededicate ourselves. Let's not get, I'm not saying don't comb your hair. I know in the scriptures, some people, I was in a Christian sect, Seventh-day Adventist, yeah. Women ain't supposed to braid their hair or wore jewelry on or whatever. No, that's not what, I think that's in Peter. It's not that's what they're talking about. It's talking about not let that be your righteousness, your holiness. Not your apparel, your outwardly showing, your inwardly showing. supposed to be more holier than that. Because remember, once we were naked, we were unclothed, we were covered by the Most High. So we can still be that way, but yet now we have to wear clothes, but we can see now. We can see that we're naked, we're not having clothes, but you can have, like we learned at the zeal, the men's retreat, a person that have this zeal on them, this aura, the light, the word in Hebrew means aura. So a woman can still have, see, even with that, somebody said, well, of course she look beautiful, man. You see how she look? But you can say, no, it's something about her. Something about her lies beyond her braided hair. Yes, a woman can wear makeup, her jewelry, whatever, clothes. It's that godliness in her, that humility in her. That's what he's saying. So it's not like you can't wear that. So it's your inward. What did he say? Yeah, what did he say? What did he say in 1 Samuel chapter 15? He said, God don't, when he want to look for another king that replaced Saul, King Saul, the first king. Yeah, he said, Jesse got 8 sons. He said, no, not none of them, Saul. There's another one. Ask him where that other one at. King Dawid, King David. And he said, God don't judge like man do for the outer person, but the inner. So that's why it's important to keep your inner temple. Keep these temples, our body, keep our mind, keep our minds ready on Most High. Because judgment begins with his believers. Even though it says in a household, I'm a priest, so guess what? Judgment is on me, even heavier than a person that's just in the faith. Oh, you get some stripes too. Remember Luke chapter 12, starting around about, I guess, about, you can start around about 40. Don't think because you're not a priest, you don't get a beating. Or you get a spanking too. You just don't get more of a beating than what I would get for knowing whom I am and who I stand before. We say it every week. Dalit Ne Me Tar Omer, Baruch Atah Yahweh Elohim, Malik Halam, Asher Kir Shanu, Bethel Thu, Shinatan, Hane Roa, Shel Shabbat. Know whom you stand before. I had to know that. I had to keep that on my forefront. That's why I got fringes to look down, not to look stylish because I can match them in different colors, but to make me look down, I came out of her. I got my hand on this cloud. I can't do that. Even though my family and friends, they probably was upset because I was out of town doing Thanksgiving. Hey, you welcome to come over my house anytime, but you know every time around that year, I'm not going to be home anyway. But if you want to eat a turkey, I can eat a turkey. That's on your clean food list. You welcome to come over my house that Sunday. We can have a turkey. Turkeys, sweet potatoes, whatever's in that clean list, you can come on over to your little brother's house. But I guess it's not fun to them or glamorous to, wow, that's Sunday. That's a couple days before then. I'm not going to discriminate to eat turkey or sweet potatoes or whatever's on the clean list. Now, you can't have your custom or whatever you may do at your dinner. No shrimps and stuff like that's allowed. No glazed hams here. I'm sorry. You can leave that out on the porch. And when you're ready to, you're ready to go, or you want your piece of your glazed ham, you go out on the porch and get your piece, come back on in. No, you can't bring it in. But that's things that we have to realize. We have family members, and they haven't came out of her. But it's not us to be conformed. We're supposed to be transformed so we can, the light in us, that aura in us, the zeal in us, the power in us. That's Yahushua, that little bit of Holy Spirit in that temple, that body's the Holy Temple, by us doing is obeying his laws, commandments, and statutes, and Shabbat. That's what's going to draw them and pull them out to Deuteronomy 8:4. Do you believe it? Is he lying that he said you should teach, to make all the other nations marvel? So we look at the two temples. You got a spiritual temple, and you got a physical temple. What did we learn from those physical temples? They all got destroyed and taken away because of what? Disobedience. Anybody remember something in that one temple? That one temple, what? They always had in the temple, and every temple had what? The Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. It got taken away a couple times before we had a permanent dwelling. Remember they worshiping Shiloh. Remember Eli. It was a priest named Eli and had two sons. Very disobedient in the ways of Most High. Made the Most High so mad, what happened? The Ark of the Covenant got taken away, and Eli, the high priest, was laid to rest. He died. But that's when someone came along named Samuel, was a prophet and a priest that wasn't from the tribe of Judah. So he was always showing us, leading up to becoming, getting to the Most High Yahushua. That's why we're in the book of Hebrews now. We'll see that when we get to that chapter. He wasn't from the priestly tribe, Levi. He was from the kingly tribe. And that's why he was a priest and a king. That's why he could do what he did, became the high priest. Samuel wasn't from Levi. King David was from Judah, though. Yahushua wasn't. And that's, he became that high priest, the kingly priest. So as we keep our temples and keep Yahweh in the forefront of our mind in this world that we live in, yes, we just have to stop those things. We pull it down. What is it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 or 2 Corinthians 10? We pull all those things down. They're strongholds. We pull them down under the obedience of anything that's against what the Messiah Yahweh says. Don't let the devil tell you it's okay. You can do that. God know your heart. He do know your heart. What Jeremiah said, then Yahushua came back in the flesh and repeated what Jeremiah said. It's full of murderers, adulterers, wickedness, whatever. What did Yahushua say back in Genesis? I come to find out that this creation I did, oh, my, I'm so hurt. All they do is wicked imagination constantly. As Brother Dale Well says, well, their frontal lobe was full of wickedness. He had to destroy all of them. Look like right now, these other generations, they getting just as bad. We got to keep on praying as believers. We got to keep our salt. We the salt of the world and the light of the world. So, because we're the ones that's keeping this world still here. What do you say? Because if it wasn't for the elect. So we have to keep on doing the will of the Most High, being his representative. Speak this word in season when it's not. Right now, it's not in season to tell somebody it's not the birth of the Son of God, birthday. And it's Hanukkah for 8 days. And for renewing your temple and your spiritual self back to the Most High, learning his ways. And for a person that say they are Hebrew and treating it like 8 days of Christmas, my true love gift. Yeah, this not in season. This ain't a good time. You won't be like, oh, well. Like I told you, I had to tell my family, the 16th president, he might have been called on this age. I don't think I'm going to stick with humble Moshe. It say Yahweh servant Moses was one of the most humble servants. And he gave him the laws of God. I'm going to go with Moshe over Honest Abe Lincoln. Yes. Even if Abe did have a beard, you know, look like he's a little Hebrew or something. I'm going with Moshe, the humble servant of Yahweh. So in this temple, what we have to realize, family, these things, Yahweh just want us to remain true to him. Not perfect, because we can't be perfect only unless Yahweh keep continuing to build. And the only way we can get build more and more, we have to keep putting Yahweh in us. So that Yahweh is what? The light of the world, the bread of the life. So we have to keep putting that on our altars. That altar is up, our bodies right now. Let this mind be in you. That mind, he has to be in us. So in order to do that, we have to stay in his word. Read his word, pray in his word. You fall down because you're not perfect, you get back up. And what that mean? God is not in you. You may have heard me say this. Like I had to learn this. Let God be God. And I had to learn that God, what he had to show me, I wasn't concerned with your perfectionist, Shabel, because your perfectionist ain't nothing but filthy rags compared to me, because who's your yardstick compared to? It's not compared to my son, Yahushua HaMashiach, who gave his life, his precious blood for you. I'm into faithfulness. Y'all had to learn that. And so what we have to do in this time that we live in, we have to look at the ways of those temples that he gave during our time of Israel. Like I said, before we even have a temple, we had Shiloh. And like I said, we're at Ichabod, the glory of Yah is taken away. That was one of the twins that was born by Eli's daughter-in-law. Like I said, Eli died, and that's the first time the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. And you know how the story goes. It came back. It was taken once more. Remember, but the last time it was taken, I think you read that in Jeremiah chapter 2 or whatever, because Babylon captivity came when Judah went into captivity, and that ark never been saw again. So therefore now, that's why Yahshua told them, marvel not, because their stone in that temple is going to be there. That ark of the covenant, that physical thing to look at to say that's Yah, now that can be in your mind, like he tells us in Jeremiah, what's that, 31 and 33, I'm going to put the covenant and the new things in your mind. So that ark of covenant remains in a believer's mind as long as you renew your mind and wash your mind daily with his word. Seek his guidance. No, it's not easy. No, it's hard when you try to do it on yourself, but it becomes easier, like Brother Darewell mentioned a couple weeks ago, up in Men's Fellowship on the line. But as Rabbi was teaching us in the classes, that class in Zeal of Yah and the importance of Israel, spirituality of Israel, it becomes a habit, a routine. But a good routine to have it, not just a ho-hum habit, oh, well, yeah. No, this one is different because each day, this one, the mercies are renewed each day. Like in Lamentation 3, this is a daily, this thing daily gets renewed. So like the temple and the Maccabees, almost the myth about some oil. No, every day, those lamps supposed to be lit every day. So those lamps point to what? The light of Yahweh in you. It's up to, only we can keep that light lit. What he tells us in Matthew 5, if you have a lamp, do you hide it under a bushel? No, you put it where everyone can see. That's what Yahshua said, if I be lifted, I'll draw all man to me. So as this, we are the spiritual temples now. We may not look like much, but we have to conduct ourselves like that. And we have to say no to the world, even when it hurts. We have to be in season. We can't be man-pleasing. That's what those, some of you may say, well, I see Slim say he don't have a wife. I've been married 2 times before. And if she had to be listening to the line, she said, yep, he telling the truth. He don't care. One of my wives used to call me the Rock of Gibraltar. Gibraltar, I didn't know what that was. You know, I wasn't that much smart. But I, if you listen to Sister Denise, I'm not saying I'm not smart like that. I'm just saying at that time, see, because I've been told and corrected. I didn't know that was actually, because I wasn't into the Bible then, but as I grew and learned the Bible, it is a place historically in the archaeologists called the Rock of Gibraltar, and it's a stone. When I used to be studying before I became in this war, I was like, whoa, that's true. Yeah, some of the things I did in the world, I didn't even know the Most High, but I see they was the ways of Most High. So if I stick to something and say I'm doing it or whatever, I lost certain things for being, as people say, bullheaded or strong-headed. I look back at it now like, ooh, it cost me, but I can keep that same character now because, well, I got practice. I was foolish then doing it. Well, I could have liked nothing, but now, no, that was perfect practice because why? I got to be this way, stand fast with God. I got to stand there. I got to be in the gap. When he said, who's going to speak for me? Who's going to stand on the wall, like he said in Ezekiel? I got to tell people that ain't right. Much as that don't feel good or hurt, well, now it don't matter, whatever. Like he told Samuel, it's not you they neglecting, Samuel. It's not you they neglecting or you mad at Shabbat, Brother Rob. It's my word. They don't want to hear the truth that you share with them. But I got to still do it. So that's one thing about these things. When we give a vow, I think that's in Numbers chapter 5. And then Yahshua comes along and he says, that you're yay be yay, nay be nay. We see that in the restore, as they call it, the new church age, or they call it the new church, as some people try to title Acts, the book of Acts, you know, new assemblies, whatever. We see a account in Acts chapter 5. You get a chance to read that. They broke a vow. All they had to do was say, this is how much we give. We're not giving you a penny less, a penny more. Who you lying to? God already know. They lied and sold their stuff and said, oh, this is all we got. Well, yeah, sold it for 10 G's. That's all I got is 10 G's. It was yours anyway to get what you want. So when you make a vow, keep your vow. Same way you keep your vow to a car dealer. I know y'all heard me say this before. To a car dealer, to a mortgage firm, a rental office, gas and electric or whatever. You keep that same vow you give to the Most High. Remember, we know in Ecclesiastes 9:11, 8:11, just because judgment doesn't happen speedily, don't mean judgment's not coming. We serve a living God. And those things he writes in those scriptures, therefore, they're written for our learning, as we told in Romans chapter 15. They still there. There's nothing different. We're still in Bible time. It's not going to skip us. And if you believe it would skip you some kind of way, you fooling yourself. You better ask for repentance soon. Matter of fact, don't even wait for me to finish this program. Cut it off now and go pray. I just want to let, I ain't trying to scare nobody. I'm just trying to let people know in these days or whatever, and the seasons that what they point to, so we know of Bible believers and Bible followers, this is the time now for restoration, renewing your spiritual temple to the Most High. And going here, that's why I gave you something out of Corinthians to look at. First Chronicles 1 Chronicles 28, and Moses with the Exodus 25, starting there, and then 1 Kings 6. Let's not be like Saul. Solomon. Solomon took 7 years to build Yahweh house, which was months. Took 13 years to build. I still wonder why the Father keep having that on my mind. He gave me this for Sukkot. That wasn't even my lesson. So that's why I've been going this way. That's why I said I wasn't even finished this, but he just said, give what you got. This is all what you get right now. And I'll give you the rest if I want to. But and just let me put on me. And but by this time of this season is, like so you think about the Ezekiel temple in Ezekiel chapter 40, that future spiritual temple. We know that's a spiritual temple. And so we know now we physical, but we spiritual now. So we keep those things to our forefront. And we just follow in the Torah, the things that we have, that we seen that was written before our time that we learned, and we continue reading, and we wait and watch the Father reveal things to us for the month, the time that we live in now. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you or abandon you. As we set up in the men's fellowship, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things we learned to the men of God. We say Amos, I think it was Amos 4, 4:8, I'll reveal everything to my prophet. If we stay fast and stay in Yahweh's will, he can't lie. We learned that up there too. Numbers, 23, 19? He's not a man to lie. But we had to believe. Do we believe those things we say? And then our actions had to put forth. So we don't have to talk those things. Our actions, that aura that we learned up in the men's fellowship, those things would be radiant. They'll spring forth out of us. They'll spring forth. So that's all we have to realize for time. That's almost good. That's what an hour. But that's what we have to see. Cause like I said, I don't have this lesson finished, but they just notes that I had highlighted. But it's things that we have to realize that the walk that we've been walking this long. As for me, I've been with Beth Yahweh for 16 years and 2 weeks in November. Some brothers been with Beth Yahweh longer than that. I've been a Kohen for Beth Yahweh probably, I think, since 2009. So that's why I said certain things he gave me with the 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins in my house first, and doing certain things. We have to always keep those things in mind. We ask Yahweh for things, but are we being honest with ourselves? And saying, is it just coming out of lip service, or do you really want it? Because you don't have to lie to me. Like I tell people, my son or whatever, you can't lie to God. I learned that a long time ago. I know I'm sure everybody says, boy, if you get me out of this, I do this. God, I won't do that no more. I go to church every day. I do this. He already know, like, you lying. He said that before. I had to tell a dude on drugs, I go to church, but I hit the lottery or whatever, and I get it. I said, you don't give now. So what makes you think you're going to give if you hit the lottery? You're already selfish. That's a characteristic in you. And a lot of people used to use drugs when I came up. I'm like, oh, stop. But don't blame the drugs. They might enhance some things, but that was already in you. You wasn't going to do that anyway. Now you have an excuse to say, well, you know, I was getting high. Or I was drunk. You wasn't going to do it anyway. But now you got a better excuse. So that's what people have to realize when it comes to your life. Because I'm a realist. I don't candy coat nothing. Because you candy coat something, you ain't going to get no truth and no result. You're going, and I don't like to, you know, be fake and lie to. I don't like to be pacified. I never, that's just not me. Some people like sweet things and smooth sand. I like to hear it just like it is. And that way I can work. I can work, get better on it than living a fairy tale. That's not me. And as believers, we got to get people out of this fairy tale, make-believe world. We got to get people back into thus say Yahweh. And where it starts at, it starts with us. It starts with us. Where we be the only light, the only Bible in church that they see. And we have to give it to them. And we have to be honest. And we have to let go of some things. Letting go of some things that you're accustomed to doing, that you're comfortable, it's very hard. I ain't going to lie. So I used to use drugs. Some drugs was, yeah. Some things I indulged in, yeah. I missed the club, yeah. I went to so many clubs when I came back to the United States of America. I'm like, hey, it don't even excite me. The clubs I've been to overseas, they was clubs. So certain things, did I keep looking and searching? Yeah, I did. I tried to find a couple of them. That part is over. And you have to come to realization when you especially you my age, I'm 55. When you get to be a certain age, a certain thing, it gotta be like, okay. All right. Don't fall for the 50 is the new 37. No, it ain't. My body, I try to tell my body that. My body reminds me like, no, you 55, you're not 37. Mine was playing tricks on me. I let my mind hype me up. But that's all I have for the night, family. Like I said, finish your rest of your Shabbat in the quiet time with the Most High and some meditations or whatever you do during this time. But just think, get prepared. Because like I said, this season right now is coming up on us in a few more weeks. It's for dedication. Enough, don't get caught on what you see with this Christmas stuff. Don't have nothing to do with that. It's rededicating your temple. So the Most High can come what? Come and dwell in it. He can't come and dwell in somewhere where it's not clean. We can go back to the garden. Who told you was naked? You ate from that tree I told you? I got to put you out of here. Get out of my temple. Get out of my house. Yeah, they got kicked out. They can't come back. They can't come back until this time. But the good thing about it, they can come back now if somebody made a way for them to come back, and that way is Yahushua, our Messiah. He told them, he said in Revelation 5, I'll go. Who can open the book? I got it. Don't cry. Wipe your tears. I got this. Hallelujah. So on that note, Father Yahweh, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to fill in. And let me just speak some words that you said I should say, which I thought I shouldn't say anything, because to me that's an incomplete lesson, but it's not finished, so that's what it is. And Father, y'all, thank you right now for allowing us to gather, for those who are listening, audience, that they can hear these words, and those for their first time hearing these words, that they can research these words, all the things that I speak that are found in your words, Father God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, 15, 16 says, all scripture, that's Old and New Testament, and some and his apocryphal book, if according to your rule, Isaiah 8:20, if there's light in them that speak to the testimony of love, there's light in them. If there's no light in them, if they don't speak of those things, there's no light in them. So all scriptures can be used for reproof, rebuke, and correction to fully furnish a person so they can walk in the ways and the acceptable will of the Most High. Because there's a way that seems right, but that way leads into death. It's a broad road, many follow, but only the narrow road gets there. Father, y'all watch over our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov, and his family. Continue to bless him, feed him, and give him your word so he can to dispense his word amongst us so we can go out in this darkened world, darkened land, and give people your gospel they need to see, to tell them to repent and turn back to the Father, the Most High. Father, y'all watch over our spiritual sisters, all the sisters, so that they can continue to do the Titus commission of making daughters bats, daughters of Yahweh, the seed under the spirit of Jezebel, which is out here called feminism. Father, y'all watch over our young adults and our teenagers, because the generation that they in, they're looked upon as outcasts or foolishness. But the fool says in his heart there's no God. So young brothers and sisters, hang on and stand firm in this. It's worth it. Watch over Sister Debbie. Continue to strengthen her as she heals. Watch over all my brothers that need healing. Watch over all my brothers that's out of state, that's not in state. But let you stay on the forefront of their mind wherever they are. They still your representative there, and that they can speak for you. Watch over our Beth Yahweh family. Continue to guide us. Watch over all our children and the children of Beth Yahweh. Watch over our Zakins, Father God. Continue to strengthen them with their help so they can use their wisdom that you gave them with the years that they had, that they can dispense it and filter it through the Torah that you gave to our forefathers. Father Yah, closing blessings. Blessing are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe. May this month be the end of our travails, a start of beginnings for the redemption of our souls. For you have chosen your people, Israel, from all the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of the new moons. Apologize, family. I'm not teaching a new moon. That was the wrong blessing that I opened up with. I'm so used to teaching on a new moon, I opened up with the wrong blessing. I just realized that as I was closing. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to correct my error. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Apologize on that, family. Shabbat shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
answer to my prayer.
Surrender our life to you.